It is a difficult thing for me to be able to express to you all that this Mass means for a priest, all that this Mass should be for each of you. And so, what we each should do first is turn to the Sacred Hearts of our Blessed Lord, to ask him to give us help in at least coming to some understanding of the beauty and of the greatness and the grandeur of this day, the anniversary of the Holy Mass and the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Priesthood. Perhaps the way we should begin is the way the Church makes us begin on this feast, by having us repeat over and over again in the introit of this Mass, but it behooves us to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is our salvation, life, and resurrection, by whom we are saved and delivered. You heard the Schola sing these words over and over again. Deus misericordiae nostri et benedicat nobis. May God have mercy on us, and may he bless us. May he shine his face on us and bless us. But it behooves us to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is our salvation, life, and resurrection. Everything that we have received, all good that comes to us, the very good of heaven itself, is given to us through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this cross, Calvary, the act of our Lord's passion and death, is so important for our salvation, so important for our holiness, that our blessed Lord, who loves us so much, would not be content to leave that act in history. But because he knew that without that cross, we have no hope for heaven, he willed that we literally and truly and substantially, in a way, be united with that act. And so he removed it from history. He removed it from time. He removed it from space. And he made that act, in a way, eternal. And only the wisdom of God could do that. Isn't that so? Only God could be capable of such great love, of such great generosity, that he would be willing to renew all of his pains, to renew that great act of love over and over again. And that is the Mass. And so, the night before he died, just as I've told you on other occasions, when a father is going to die, he brings his children around him and gives him, at that last and most important moment, the greatest of his gifts. And our Lord was not content to leave us only a memory. He left us his living presence in that act which showed us the depth of his love for his heavenly Father and his love for you and me. He left us the Mass in the context of the Last Supper. And so the most important thing that you must know, each of you, as you are at this Mass, this anniversary Mass, in a way of my priesthood and of the priesthood, is that this Mass especially is not purely a memorial, not only a memory of what happened many years ago, but much more than that. It is a literal renewal in an unbloody way of that bloody death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. An act of sacrifice, an act of adoration of his Father, an act of thanksgiving, an act of propitiation, an act of reparation, of atonement, and an act of supplication for our salvation, for our holiness, an act of supplication that we may be forgiven of God, his Heavenly Father, of all, for all of our sins. And so the first thing that our Lord said when he was placed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you think that our Lord only had in mind his executioners? He had in mind his executioners in history too. That is us. We each have shared in our Lord's passion. Each of us, as we look back in our lives, have helped to cause our Lord to suffer something extra on the cross. Not so much out of malice, but mostly out of weakness. So our Lord begs for forgiveness by making himself our representative. It is as if he were guilty. It is as if he bore the shame of every malice, of every crime, the most secret that we have ever committed. It is as if he had done it. And that act of mercy and generosity, who was there among us who would do that, is renewed at every Mass. And so that is the reason why on this Mass commemorating the first Mass, we repeat over and over, it behooves us to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is our salvation, life, and resurrection, by whom we are saved and delivered. And more, our Lord gave us as the first fruit of his Mass that which we call the Blessed Sacrament, the gift of God called the Holy Eucharist. The whole history of the world, you might say, culminates on this one act of the Holy Eucharist. Our very existence is for our Lord's presence in the Blessed Sacrament. The Church exists for the purpose of the Holy Eucharist, because the Eucharist contains not only grace, but the author of grace. We know by our holy faith that at Mass what is made present is not simply a sign and a symbol, but much more. What is made present is the real and true and substantial presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, body and blood, soul, and divinity. That when you look at the sacred species as the priest raises it over his head, offering it as a gesture of adoration and sacrifice to God, our Heavenly Father, you know that when you look at that sign, you are looking at the body of God, whose body is crucified, whose blood, every drop of which is shed for each one of your sins, in reparation for your sins, as an act of petition for forgiveness, for mercy. There is something that I want you to know about these doctrines as I am renewing them for you. There is something that I want you to understand. We often think that our Lord, when he offered the first Mass, when he died on the cross, that act, having been completed, is simply renewed by the priest at Mass, almost as if our Lord has no direct contact. But this is not so. What you must understand, every time you look at the Holy Eucharist, every time you are assisting at any Mass, whose value is infinite, you must understand this. that what makes that Mass, as we call it, valid, what enables a priest to offer Mass, is not only the power that has been given to him by the Holy Spirit, but more. What makes that Mass valid is because, fundamentally, our Lord is offering it. He is the principal priest. He is the only priest. He is priest by virtue of his incarnation, by virtue of his humanity. From the first instant that our Lord existed in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he was created by God the Father as a priest. And he began his active priesthood at that very moment, shut up in the womb of the Mother of God. He was always a priest. Every act that he performed was priestly and had infinite value. Every prayer, every sigh, every smile, every tear was priestly. It came from a priestly heart, a heart filled with reparation. And that priestly heart still lives. It lives in tabernacle. It lives also in heaven. And so, our Lord from heaven is directly and immediately participating. More, he is the one who is directly and immediately offering each Mass that the priest, as an instrumental cause, is offering at the altar. It is he whose intentions are always valid, always filled, as it were, with a desire to accomplish that which the priest is doing. And that is what makes the priest's act efficacious. That's what makes his Mass valid, because our Lord's heart and his act of oblation, of act of offering himself, his act of priesthood continues forever. Our Lord directly and immediately is attentive. Even if the priest, even if his attention fails for a moment, even if any of you are distracted, our Lord's attention is not. He is always mindful. And it is he, through his intention, that wills to accomplish that which the priest does. So you see, it is not the human priest by any means that is the first offerer of the Mass. There have been some saints that have been given the gift of seeing only our Lord at the altar offering Mass. Something like when, at the moment of the Sermon on the Mount, after our Lord had preached the beautiful words of the Beatitudes, after he had finished, the disciples came and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And our Lord said, "When you pray, say this, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" Do you think that our Lord said that prayer once? No. He said it many times. And I believe that after he said that prayer for the first time, I believe that he said it again. And I believe that he made his apostles and the disciples around him repeat it with him. Our Lord said that prayer not only to teach, but he said that prayer for them, and he said it with them. That's precisely what our Lord does at every Mass. He is the one who first says the Mass. Our Lord is always in heaven to make intercession for each of you, for all of your troubles, for all of the anguish, the secret pains of your life. Our Lord is always there in heaven, and he continues in the tabernacle, even though you do not have the gift of the Blessed Sacrament in your homes. We who have the Blessed Sacrament in our home, we know that our Lord, who is our house guest, our Lord, who is the head of our house, we know that he is there, always making intercession for us and for you, because his presence in the tabernacle is an extension of his sacrifice, the sacrifice of offering himself for each of you. This is most important that you understand. And when you receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, you must remember that you are receiving the real and true presence of our blessed Savior. Not so much that you may take him inside of you, but more that he may take you inside of him. St. Thomas Aquinas puts it beautifully. O res mirabilis manduca dominum pauper servis servus ac humilis. O wonderful gift, a poor and humble slave consumes the Lord for the purpose of being brought into his life, for the purpose of being made one with his cross and the fruits of it, the fruits of mercy, of love, and of union, union with God. And that is the greatest gift of the Mass and of the Eucharist, union and true and perfect sorrow for your sins and conversion. Many people who are not Catholic, people even who are remiss in their faith, have come sometimes just to one Mass, whose value, as I told you, is infinite, whose greatness can never be appreciated. God the Father is infinitely, perfectly pleased by just one Mass. And there have been people who have walked in, and even those, I think of one young man whom I know, who was very remiss in his faith. And one day he walked into Mass and did not know exactly what was happening, but he knew as he saw the priest lift up the host, he knew something great, something mysterious, something very holy was being done. And so he began to kneel down and to pray. So much impressed was he with what was so holy in front of him. And little did he know it, but he was given the gift, not only of faith, but the gift of a vocation to the religious life and to the priesthood, just by one Mass. And there is one more gift that God has given us, in addition to this gift of union with himself, and through that union with each other. You are related to each other by the gift of the Eucharist. You are closer to each other than blood makes you close, through the Holy Eucharist, through Holy Communion. You share the life of God himself. That is literally true. But there is one other gift, one that I think is most difficult for me to express to you. That is the gift of the priesthood. When our Lord created the priesthood, and by the way, this is the only vocation in the entire universe that is a direct creation of God. Every other vocation is somehow man-made, directed for man. But the priesthood is a direct product of a creation of our Lord. It is, by its very nature, divine. It is a participation in that priesthood of Christ that is eternal. I cannot explain all that the priesthood is, all that it means, except that without it, none of us have any hope for heaven, because it is from the priesthood that the Holy Mass is made present. If there is anything that you should love and revere after the Mass, it is the gift of the priesthood. By the priesthood, a man is given the power that lasts forever. When you are married, you are only married until you die. But even in heaven, if a man is a priest, he remains one forever. Even should he go to hell, he is a priest even in hell. That character that is placed on his soul lasts eternally. And that character has within it the power to make present the act of our Lord on the cross, Calvary, the death of our Lord, and also the power to sanctify souls through the ability that is given to a man to dispense the sacraments, in particular the sacrament of penance, and also the sacrament of extreme unction and others. What a great, great gift this is, which value no man can place a number on. It is the source of the greatest joys of a man's life. The reason is because, as a priest, a man shares in the victimhood of our Lord as well as in his priesthood. And so we say that a man, a priest, must be a priest of his victimhood and a victim of his priesthood. And for that reason, holiness in a priest is paramount. It is, in a way, more important for a priest to be in the state of grace than for other men. The reason is because a priest, by his very vocation, is called to perfection, is called to be the living reflection of our Lord's human nature, crucified. That is what a priest is called to. A priest is called, just as the vocation of grace, he is called to likeness of our Lord. The very image of the crucifix is meant to be, as it were, affixed not only to his soul, but even to his body. That is the reason why his habit is black. This is the sign of death, the sign of the death of our Lord on the cross. The fact that it is even in the symbol of a cross, isn't it? To give you an understanding, to give the priest an understanding of his vocation of being a living victim. And it is through that that he becomes an extension of our Lord's priesthood. Because our Lord is a priest, first of all, and most importantly, on the cross. How much you should pray for priests. How much you should beg our Lord in these days when there are fewer masses offered, when people are remiss in their obligations, to love the Mass and the sacraments and the Holy Eucharist. How much you should pray for priests. I know of a lay holy person in Europe who, when he looked at the many parishes in his country that were bereft of priests, the churches were empty, what he used to do is confide those parishes to saints in heaven who were priests, so that they from heaven would look after these people. Even in heaven, a priest's vocation never ends. He is meant to spend himself for the good of souls, to be a living image of our Lord. If you could only understand something of what it means to be a priest, how much you would love it, how much you would revere it. I cannot, as I say, describe for you the happiness and the awe that is given to one who possesses it. But at least I can say this, that once one has become a priest, one realizes that that is exactly what he's created for. That is his destiny. It is that which becomes the source in this life of his happiness, above all other goods. Because the priesthood is nothing but the extension of our Lord's intimacy, of our Lord's power, of our Lord's passion, his death. And the holier a priest is, the more fruitful is his Mass. Because you see, what our Lord does is use that which he has affixed onto that man, his passion. He uses that, as it were, and disperses the fruits of it to the faithful. So the priest truly becomes a mediator, a man in the middle, between the people and between God. A man who is united to God, united to his victim, united to his people. He is just like our Savior, priest and victim. And that too, you see, is renewed on this day. And so I ask you at this Mass, as you renew your faith in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and in the real presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Eucharist, I ask you too, not just to renew your faith in the priesthood, but to renew your love for it. Renew your attachment to it, your affection for it, your respect for it, your dependence upon it. And I am sure that our Lord, in his priestly prayer for unity, will, through the priesthood, whom or who he has prayed for. And all priests, when he said, Father, sanctify them in truth, I am sure that our Lord, whose heart is big, I'm sure that as our Lord continues in his act of offering himself up directly and through his priests for the salvation of souls, I am sure that our Lord will include you in a special way. How much our Lord must love you. I think he loves you a great deal, because you are the few whom he has permitted to be here on the day of the first Mass and of the Eucharist and of the priesthood, to participate in this Mass, to forget your schedules, your busy lives, your home life, to forget the world for a few moments, and to leave history, to leave time, to leave space, to come here, a place that is removed from time. I am sure that our Lord, who loves you so much, I know that he will bless you through the priesthood, as he already is blessing you. I am sure that he is very close to you, that he will bring you close to his heart, the heart that gives himself all the time for each of you. Remember, when our Lord is lifted up by the priest in the consecration of the Mass, remember that our Lord has his arms outstretched to each of you, embracing you. And when you come to Holy Communion, your desire for unity will be fulfilled. It will be perfect because of your faith and because of your affection for the Mass, for the Eucharist, and for the priesthood. May God bless you.